Coming up on TMS, this smells wrong.
Too much hassle.
Amazon does a thing.
Pizza man in trouble.
20 million in my bed.
Chili powder hurts.
Recommendals and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
On June 3rd, 1997, less than 2 months ago, the last of our supply ships blasted off from Lando for their return to Earth. After it had gone, I remember looking out across the plain at the dead city, one of thousands that dotted this planet. It had tall, graceful buildings, atomic power systems, vacuum conveyors, all perfect, all deserted, all ominous.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. What are you gonna do? Charge me with smoking?
Hello, everybody. Oh, hey, that guy's a national treasure.
There he is.
Freaking love that guy. Hey, it's the Morning Stream with Scott Johnson and Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Scott. How are you?
Oh, I just cough. Won't stop. That's all. It's fine. Fine.
Can't stop. Won't stop.
I'm not going to complain, though. You've got a wife dealing with pneumonia now and other complications, and I absolutely do not envy that. So I'm gonna pretend really, like this cough is like a dip in a chocolate fountain.
Yeah, it's really screwed things up for me because I can't get any sympathy for anything anymore, right? Like walking through the living room, stub my toe. Oh, my God, it hurts. Yeah, well, you know, I had breast cancer.
I know. It's like nothing you can do now. That's a really good point.
Yeah, exactly. No matter what happens to me, it's I can't compare.
Yeah. So I can get all the angry trolls in the world on the internet, and it still doesn't compare to that.
Right,
so I feel like I've got the same problem. Maybe that's good. Maybe that's a good thing. It's like humbling. It's like, oh yeah, that's right. There are people in our direct connective vicinity that we that have things going worse right now. So let's all just accept our lots in life. And, you know, keep moving, keep happening, keep it going. Yeah. Brian, it's good to see you this morning. That hat is on you. I'm going to ask you about that in a minute. People at home who can't see the the video, Brian's wearing one of his big Russian hats, right? Is that what that is?
It is. It's actually the hat I picked up at Snowbird a few years ago when I was doing Frog Pants All-Stars and I wanted to do the whole game show look. So I had this hat. Mm-hmm. I shaved the stuff on my chin, so I just had the mustache. It was like trying to do the Alex Trebek thing.
You're right. I have pictures of that somewhere on Flickr. If somebody wants to go track those down, they're pretty good. You might refer to it as a limber limber. Why is it so quiet? That shouldn't be so quiet. Here, let's turn that off. Here we go.
Limber, limber.
There you go. That's what I meant to do. Anyway, hey, it's time for us to do a show. We got some stuff to talk about. We'll get to why you're wearing that hat in a second, but let's start with this. Yesterday afternoon, I noticed an odd smell. Mm-hmm. Didn't know where it was coming from. It smelled like kind of sweet and but gross. Maybe
is
like
this
a
the studio or where was this?
In the studio. I could smell it in the basement, and I was like, "Where is this coming from?" And it was wafting through the house at a rapid rate. And I hadn't noticed it until yesterday.
The smells are coming from the house.
It's like The Happening. I can only tell because the trees are moving or whatever.
Right.
But it was so bad and so stinky. I thought, well, there is something wrong. Like maybe a mouse got in from the cold and died somewhere and is now, you know, rotting or something. Mm-hmm. I did hear a mouse squeaking in the window well yesterday. Mm. I tried to save it, but it wasn't having any. So yeah. I don't know how he's doing today.
Yeah, make a little ramp for it to get out.
Yeah, I might need. I did that a couple years ago with a tube, one of my old shipping tubes, but I don't have those anymore. So I don't know what happened to him. I'm a little worried about him. He's not squeaking now, so that may have gone poorly overnight. But anyway, so I'm looking for this smell, and I'm sure it's a dead animal. I don't know why I just was sure of it, but I was sure of it. So I'm digging around, and it's much stronger in the furnace room, and the furnace room's connected to a storage room that one day might be a bathroom, but right now it's just a storage room. It's this unfinished room. Mm-hmm. And I got a lot of crap in there, old keyboards and, you know, just computer
stuff.
Those
things
cables.
We save for who knows what reason. It's like, well, I might need this Logitech wireless keyboard that...
Yep. This weekend, I'm, by the way, getting rid of all that stuff, as much of it as I can. I'm going to go through there and just get rid of it. And part of it is motivated by this. So I go in there. I'm digging around, and I find one box where it's a sealed, like, a, you know, those like Rubbermaid containers.
Oh, yeah.
With a lid on it, right?
Storage bin. Plastic storage bin.
And I crack it just barely and was about to shut it again and move it because I couldn't see anything in there. And the smell was suddenly overwhelming. Like,
okay,
whoa.
It's been located.
Yeah, I found, beep, 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 beep. I found the thing. My divining rod found the smell.
The hot zone, right?
So I opened it up, and all that's in there, as best I can tell, are a few Pop Toy boxes, some with Pop Toys in them, some are empty, and then a few just scatterings of dumb stuff.
Some old Pop boxes. Sure.
Yeah, and some stuff from like a BlizzCon 2-3 years ago or something. And I dig around in there, and I find a Pop Toy box. I don't remember now, but I believe it's a Diablo Pop Toy from the Diablo series they did with Tyrael and Diablo and all that. And it was empty, but not really. I pick it up, and I turn it around, and inside of there, and I, for the life of me, don't know how it got there. I didn't put it there.
Right.
It just started to smell, so it has to be kind of recent, I think. You wouldn't know by looking at it, and I should have taken a picture of it. Shoot. I threw it out. I was so disgusted. I should have taken a picture of this thing. But inside of this thing, wedged in there, is a half-eaten banana. And I can only tell that because the peeling is kind of peeled back. At first, it looked like a brown, dark, you know, like a dog pooped in there or something.
Right, like because those things don't keep their natural yellow color for very long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was nothing banana about it, except the shape was vaguely banana-like. And I can't really tell you how old, but it had created like a little slope of mold and like weird growth, like little pocky-looking green things poking up all over the sides of the box, not even on the banana thing itself. Like, so, there was a real experiment going on in there, for sure.
So, Gus Grissom would have been able to, or Gil? Gil Grissom.
Yeah.
Would have been able to figure out how long that banana had been in the box.
Yeah, you got out his black light and his Zoom camera stuff and all the stuff.
Enhance.
Yeah, all the stuff CIA people actually don't have. Or CIS. Or no,
CSI.
Yeah, there you go. CIS. What the hell's wrong with me? So I took it out, I threw it away, and I was disgusted, but I cannot get the mystery out of my head as to how it got there. So I asked Nick. He has no idea. He just laughed. Carter's not here. I asked Kim. She has no idea. Nobody
it
has any idea.
It feels like a practical joke, doesn't
it?
Yeah,
like I mean, somebody played a joke. That's how it feels. You're right.
Nobody says, shoot, I want to look at this toy. I'll just set this banana down right here. In this Funko Pop box, I'll close the box, put it in this Rubbermaid storage bin, and yeah.
And I'm no stranger. In fact, right here.
This feels like, you know what this feels like? Feels like small kid gets a banana.
Yes.
I really want a banana. Can I have a banana? They eat half of it. I'm full. What am I going to do with the rest of this? I know. I'll hide it.
I'll hide it in this box. Now, that is a pretty good theory. We've had family get-togethers recently that involved kids under 5 in the basement running around doing who knows what, because I'm upstairs, you know, with people. My office is locked and can't get in without a code, so I was never worried about that. But they have free run of everything else. So sure. Your theory is actually the closest I've come to actually knowing what happened. I am no stranger to leaving half-eaten bananas around. This one I'm holding up right now was supposed to be breakfast yesterday, and I ate a bite, forgot about it, then noticed this morning where it was sitting and decided to throw it away. Because I'm not going to eat the rest of that. But so,
sure, there's an empty Lantronics box you can put it into for now.
Jam it in there. Where is that thing? here you go, Gary. Anyway, so you know, I'm not going to say it's absolutely no way I didn't accidentally do that. It's possible I did.
That's so many steps, though.
Yeah.
Right? That's so many steps for you to not realize what you're doing. It's like, all right. Even the first step of putting it into a Funko Pop box, you're not going to say, oh, yeah, I need to finish this in a minute. My hands are full. I need to write something down. I'll just set it inside this Funko Pop box. You're not going to do that.
And I'm not going to have an empty Funko box. In fact, I don't know why I have empty Funko boxes at all. Like, I take them out.
So you can put the toy back in there, and it's near mint quality.
See, I don't care about any of that. I have a display thing over there with all the Funkos I've ever gotten. They're out of the box, and I throw those box. I don't even throw them in the garbage. I put them in recycling. I get rid of them. Mm-hmm. And so why I've got two or three of those, I don't even know in the first place. And then why one of the Diablo ones? Maybe it's the Dark Lord himself. Maybe the Primeval has come back with his Soul Stone and infested this nasty banana.
I'm sure that's it.
I should have kept it in Shona this morning. It was so foul, but it smells so bad that if I have it out in open air, everything for miles smells like a rotting corpse.
Oh, that's horrendous.
Yeah, it was so bad. So anyway,
horrendous.
If anyone out there has a theory, I'll entertain them. We'll talk about them here on the show. I'm putting that one in the garbage. I am not. That is not going to end up in some box somewhere. Because Brian, you are my witness. I just threw a half-eaten banana in a garbage can.
I see that. It was a drive-by fruiting.
Wait, what's that from?
That's Mrs. Doubtfire.
All right. Right.
So yesterday, Tristan, it's no secret that Tristan's been having some car issues lately, right?
Sure.
He had a few weeks ago, he hit a deer. He's got a nice dent on his hood, and his little Mitsubishi logo is off now.
Mm-hmm.
He had a flat tire a few days ago, and so he had to take Tina's car, and Tina and I were scrambling because we both needed the car for medical stuff or a doctor visit or whatever. And so it's been kind of a scramble with, you know, all kind of stemming from Tristan's car issues lately. So I'm upstairs yesterday afternoon checking on Tina, seeing if she needs anything. And I look outside and there's a tow truck right next to Tristan's car. Now I wouldn't say we've had issues or difficulties, but there's been kind of a little bit of back and forth between us and the Russian neighbor as far as a parking spot that is on both of our property. Basically, there's this little green patch between our two houses and between our two driveways.
Right.
It's enough room for one car to park, certainly not enough for two. And whenever their car isn't there, and we've got, you know, between me and Tina and Tristan and Simon, who's staying with us, we've got four cars here at the house.
That's right. I keep forgetting Simon's still with you guys.
So at any point in time, we could have four cars. Now we have a two-car garage, so two of the cars will be in there. Oh, and Tristan's girlfriend's over a lot, so her car is frequently here as well.
Sure.
So potentially five cars. Now he's got four people in his family too.
Okay.
And he's got an extra car that belonged to his daughter, but his daughter got a new car. So the car that she used to have has been sitting in this green spot, like in this spot right in front of green patch.
Just parked there. Yeah.
Just parked there. Yeah. Snow piles on it. Snow melts off of it.
Right.
Snow piles on it. Snow melts off of it. So, you know, there's been this like, you know, hey, Tristan, whenever you see that spot open, even if our spot in front of our house is open, grab that spot is what we kind of tell him to do.
Sure.
Same with Simon.
Yeah.
So, but we see this tow
truck. Does that ever happen, by the way? Like, has it ever been open and then?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. There have been a couple times where she's driven that for who knows what reason. But
okay.
And I had Simon sneak in there and grab that spot. But he had to go to work, so
he
only had it for a few hours.
Right.
So I see this tow truck next to Tristan thinking, oh, my God, what's going on? Did he not pay his car payment, or is he having problems that we don't know about, but he's not here? He's out with his girlfriend. They took her car, so his car is sitting here. So I'm looking at this. I'm saying, hey, Tina, there's a tow truck next to Tristan's car. And it pulls in front of Tristan's car.
Oh, no.
And then flicks on its reverse lights.
Okay.
And so I'm like, oh, crap.
Dude,
and so I run over and I grab my shoes, put them on, and I come, you know, barreling out of the house to see what's going on. Now, the tow truck is actually backing up because the Russian neighbor is moving his cars around because I guess the tow truck is going to be towing the daughter's former car away.
So the one that's usually there is like a permanent parker. They're taking that away, not Tristan's car.
And so I see him out there and I say, oh, man, what's going on? Doesn't start?
Yeah.
He says, no, it has flat tire. I don't want to change it. So I'm having it towed to a tire shop. And in my head, there are only three words that I can think of. And I'm thinking, I could sit out here and I could try and keep asking him questions about it. It's like, come on, you just open up the trunk. There's a spare tire in there. You can, you know, jack it up a little bit. It's 50 degrees, 45 degrees out. So it's warm enough that he could do this, you know, put on a coat, change a tire.
Yeah.
But I just think to myself, oh, this is too much hassle and action right here.
Did you say, oh, that just sounds like too much hassle?
I should have.
Oh,
I really wish I would have.
frick.
There's so many opportunities. I thought, I wasn't thinking about me saying it as much as I was thinking about, I wonder if I could goad him into saying it. Oh, yeah, and you don't want to change the tire?
And I'm saying, I have too much ass.
Yeah, exactly.
So like when you do on the show sometimes when you're trying to get me to say a word or whatever.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that's
funny. I'll try to lead right up to it. What if you were to describe what the, you know, the problem with changing that tire would be, what would it, what would it be?
It's so funny how on a show that context works so much easier than it does in a face-to-face on a driveway.
It really does, yeah.
Because what would you say? I'm trying to think how you'd do it. Say, like, how would you get, you would start to sound funny unless you just got it lucky on the first try.
Right, exactly. Like trying to coax him into saying too much hassle.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you want to change it here? It's,
because then you're starting a weird conversation about, and then he's like, well, why would he ask me why? It's my job. I can choose what.
Exactly. You
know, all that stuff. So that's amazing, yeah, dude.
They, it's funny because Tina and I have noticed that they tend to go for extreme measures to solve easily solved problems. We'd see ambulances for the first few months after they lived here. We would see ambulances all the time. And we'd ask, you know, eventually we'd say, oh my God, is everybody okay? We saw an ambulance here. Oh yeah. Shlomi slipped and cut his finger in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And you know, they'd call ambulances for things that they'd describe to us that did not sound like things that required ambulances.
Like you just need a Band-Aid, maybe a little right. Neosporin or something.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. So, that's great. I want your neighbors. I want those guys.
Yeah, they're great. You know what? They're great neighbors. We actually feel pretty lucky to have them.
Yeah, I'd take him over electric car guy for sure.
Yeah. Oh God, for sure. Yeah.
I'll tell you who's too much hassle.
Have you had any?
No.
Without going into anything, have you had any issues with
electric? No, not really. It's stayed quiet. They have two new. They've since we've last had our altercation. They have two new Teslas. A blue one.
I was afraid you were going to say two new dogs.
I think another white. No, as far as, in fact, I actually think the dog's gone now.
Oh, really?
I haven't seen
him. Maybe it did belong to somebody else.
Maybe, but I doubt
it's not that dog.
Either that or he just went too much hassle and got rid of it. But, because now, you know, he called the cops for no reason and then the cops were mad at him for telling a story. And so I think that really set him off. But, now he's got a brand new, Toyota Tundra truck.
Hmm.
So
not a very low carbon footprint kind of automobile.
No, and add that to the other two SUVs that he parks out in front. I don't know what's going on. There's like it's like a car dealership or something. Wow. It must be something where he's got a connection, he knows somebody who knows somebody or something where he can get great deals on cars or quick leases that only last a month or two or something's going on like that. Because I haven't seen his BMW electric in about 3 weeks, and the Teslas have all switched colors. Right. I don't know. It's really weird. My neighbor way up the road who listens to the show, he may have some insight because he knows a guy, but I don't know what it is. There must be just some kind of car thing. And I get it. I mean, speaking of Pop Toys, I got like 50 of them over there. Mm-hmm. So maybe Pop Toys for him are cars, and he just collects them. And
maybe, yeah.
That's fine.
If maybe he has a riding banana in one of those.
If you've got the money, I suppose, go ahead and buy a bunch of cars, whatever.
That's funny. So
tell me about the Tina noises.
Sure, yeah. So since Tina's been sick with pneumonia, and she's also, and also because of that pain issue, right, that came from the way she was positioned for the echocardiogram, she's had this elaborate pillow ramp set up in bed, mm-hmm. where she can't sleep on her side because of the pain. So she's sleeping on her back, but it's kind of ramped up a little bit. So she's
elevating her
a little bit elevated. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
That makes sense.
And also because of the sleep issues and one of the first things they prescribed for her with the surgery and the lumpectomies is that they prescribed Ambien for her to help her sleep. They knew she was going to have some sleep issues.
The sleepy thing. She hasn't been walking around at night or anything weird like that.
Well, that's the thing they warned us about. They said, you know, with Ambien, you need to keep an eye on her because people are known to sleepwalk, sleep cook, sleep drive.
Yeah. It's really, there's some crazy stories out there about that.
There really is. Yeah. So fortunately, we haven't had any of that. But for the last couple of nights,
oh, no.
And I don't know why this started. It seemed to start Monday night.
Yeah.
It was not a problem Sunday night. But our routine is, you know, 10 o'clock, 10:30, watch a little bit of the news, and then we make sure the dogs go out and do their business, and then we shed everything off and go to bed. And yeah. she'll go right to bed
yeah.
while I'll prop up the iPad on my in my lap in bed and binge watch something.
Right.
And so I'll have the AirPods in, I'll be watching something, and then I start getting tired. It's like, all right, cool. Shut everything off. Take the AirPods out, put them in their little
charger unit
that looks like a dental floss.
Yeah.
And I'll turn off the light and go to sleep. Well, Monday night, as I'm taking the AirPods out, I start hearing Tina, and she is making this noise, and I'm not exaggerating at all when I tell you, when I do this for you all in right. the frequency that it occurs.
Okay. Oh, jeez. Like that quickly, huh?
That quickly, that frequently. 2 hours before I finally fell asleep on Monday night because she was, and you know, the first time I hear it, I'm like, hey, you okay? You all right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm fine. Okay.
It's the Ambien, man. It's the Ambien.
It's totally the Ambien, because the next morning I say, so do you remember some noises last night? She's like, oh my God, I totally remember. And I totally remember being aware that I was making the noises, but completely unable to not make the noises.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Ambien's weird, man. That stuff is strange. I mean, obviously it's a thing that works and is needed for people, but I just really? Like the idea of just like people driving with it, waking up in the night and just going, oh, I'm on my way to the thing. I'm going to go out and garden in my underwear or whatever.
Ambien should come with some sort of restraint system that straps you to the bed.
Yeah.
It should be like a little, you know, set of manacles or something that you just attach to the bed rails or the headboard or something.
Maybe she was singing. Maybe she was.
Could be. I was listening to see if already she sang any words. Is she? Is she? You know, do these sound like happy moans? Like, is she having a good dream? And maybe I shouldn't interrupt her.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe Brian or the mailman's involved somehow.
She's speaking Russian. I don't know. What am I supposed to listen for?
Too much hassle. She's saying over and over.
Right, exactly.
All right. This is a great story. I hope Ambien does not escalate its hold on any of us.
Last night it was a little bit better. Only about 45 minutes of that before I fell asleep. But
that's not so bad. There you go then. And there's always something to binge. There's always something to read. There's always something to watch. Right. That's how I look at it.
Right, exactly.
All right, we're gonna move on to stage two of the show, and stage two involves people calling in to this number. I've cleared the lines 801-895-4724. We're going to stump Daryl. That's how it works, and I got a little theme for it. So here, listen to this. Oops, where is it? Oh, here it is. Here you go. It's Stump Daryl, everybody, and it's brought to you by nobody.
Brought to you by nobody, really.
Yeah, there's nobody in there to bring it
to. Yeah, I'll push that till the news.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Sean from California.
Well, hello, Sean from California.
Hello,
how
Sean
are you?
From California. Whereabouts in California, Sean?
We've talked before. It's the disc golf guy.
Oh, yeah, disc golf guy. That's right. How long ago did you win? Right. How long's that been? I don't remember.
I have not won at all. I called before the kid incident.
Ah, that's right. Well, let's try to win you something today, man. I feel like this is your time. This is your place. Also with us, of course, Daryl, who will be stumped. Hi, Daryl.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Ooh, wonderful. Tell us why.
Yeah, tell us why and where are you? You sound like you're in a secret place.
Same place as always. I'm wonderful because I can see you on video now.
Oh, really? You can see us? Okay. Oh, that's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are you on your phone? Is that how this is working?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so you can see Brian's dumb hat and all that?
It's a great hat.
It is a pretty good
hat.
It
makes him look like he has fuzzy hair.
Now, all I see from you is a yellow dot or yellow bar thing. What are you actually looking at with your camera right now?
Oh, now he's turning up.
It's just like Brian said. It's a sticky note.
It's a sticky note.
Oh, did you put a sticky note over the camera?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you do a little, just give us a little peek of something. Give us a little peek. I want to see something. Anything. Whatever.
Ooh, I'm lifting the corner.
Okay, that's a keyboard. What is that? No, that's a light.
That's the underside of a cubicle.
Oh, it's an underside of a cubicle. All right. Well, I've really enjoyed this.
Are you under your desk?
Yeah. No, I think that might actually be our caller, that sound we're hearing.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, you're hearing my hot step machine. Sorry, I'm at work.
No worries. He's making frisbees or discs or whatever, right?
Oh, discs. Yeah. Yes. Frisbee is a licensed name and can only be used by the Frisbee company.
That's right. Don't forget it, everybody.
Yeah, we don't say Frisbee. Yeah. Frisbee's the F word.
You say Frosby or Frisbisby.
Yeah,
let's get all up in this here, Sean, and do a deal. Brian's going to explain the rules, and I will ask Daryl the question. Brian, how's it work?
That's right, Sean. We are going to be asking Daryl a trivia question here in just a moment. He's going to try and lob that answer as close to the metal chain basket as possible. Middle chain basket of accuracy, but he's not going to get it. He's going to be close, but he's not going to get it, and he's going to have to walk up and throw it again. Well, you're going to get to throw it. You're going to get to tell us whether or not you think the real answer is higher or lower than Daryl's guess. If you are correct today, you win a hoodie courtesy of Dodd Vickers. It's a hoodie from the movie Prisoners, starring Hugh Jackman, Jake Gyllenhaal, and Melissa Leo, and a bunch of other people that are really good. Really good movie.
I want to see that movie. I keep talking about it, and I keep getting excited about it, so I'm going to watch it. All right, there's your winnings. Brian, what's this topic?
Your topic today is Magic the Gathering.
Ooh, Magic the Gathering. Daryl, do you play at all? Is that a thing you do?
No, I never have.
All right, well, then this will be fun for you. Here's your question. The Black Lotus is the most valuable Magic the Gathering card ever printed. How many of these cards were printed for the original alpha set of the game? And by the way, these things go for thousands and thousands of dollars on eBay and stuff.
I saw one at Dragon Con one year. It was amazing. Was it was under, a magical time.
Was it under glass or something? Or how did they
do it? Yeah, it was under glass.
Yeah, it'd have to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we want to know how many of those were made in the alpha version of the game. Just as a brief hint, it is more than 200 and less than 10,000.
10,000. I'm going to say, what am I going to say? I'm going to go with a car-like answer.
A car-like answer?
Okay.
Okay.
I'll explain.
All right.
I've always been into Mustangs, and a rare Mustang would be one that I would think would be somewhere around $3,000.
$3,000?
Oh, 3,000 models.
Yeah, 3,000 of that one.
Of the model made. I was going to say, I'll bet you can get more than $3,000 for those now.
Like a GT.
Let me ask you a question. There was a period in the 80s from about 82 to probably 87 or 88, maybe even more, but that's my memory, where Mustangs were garbage poop. Do you agree?
Yeah.
They had a bad time there, right?
Oh, they had a horrible time from 74 to 80 something.
Yeah, maybe it's it's a broader time than I thought. Now the stuff today is pretty awesome.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like I would love one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to go back in time and have my dad's. He had when he was racing. He had like a 68 or something.
Oh yeah, that's good.
It was awesome. I wish that was still around. He's long sold it forever ago. But anyway, all right. So you say 3,000. Brian, is that number right?
3,000. 3,000 is incorrect. Sean from California, is the actual answer higher or lower than 3,000?
Oh, man. I actually play Magic the Gathering, but this is like bizarro beginning times.
Yeah, I mean, this is very little Magic the Gathering experience is going to help you on this one.
Yeah.
Only the knowledge that, that Black Lotus is rare and expensive.
Only the hardest of cores will remember probably those early days.
But I know that Alpha was limited print. Like, it was a very small print run, and they didn't realize it was going to be successful. So I'm going to say lower.
Lower than 3,000. Oh, that's interesting. All right, I like your logic. Let's see if that logic pays off. Is it lower?
Congratulations.
It is lower.
You're a winner.
It is 1,100 of those cards were printed in the alpha set. Oh. There were more printed in the beta and unlimited sets, but only 1,100 were made in the very first set. If you want to go buy one, you need to get a small fortune. Sean, all you have to do is send Brian an email at coverville@gmail.com, and he will get you the Prisoner's hoodie, courtesy of Dodd Vickers.
That's right. Send me your mailing address, and this is yours.
Congratulations. Yeah, well done. Hopefully it fits. You never know until they get it, right? Mm-hmm. But that's we'll see. Daryl, hey, your Star Trek thing? Oh, quick note here. There was some Star Trek news. What was it?
There was another.
They started filming yesterday.
Oh, that's what it was. That's what it was. But they delayed it again, right? Something got delayed again because of a casting thing or something? There's something.
I'm not sure.
I think there was. The article said something like production begins despite other delays or despite casting delay or something like that. There was some
Star Trek Discovery.
What is it called? Star Trek
Discovery, right?
Discovery.
Yeah. What's the name? Yeah. I can't remember. It seemed like a big deal. We won't be ready for May is what they said. That was the plan was May. So that got delayed. Right. But there was some other
premiere pushed back again.
That's right. The casting father, the Spock's dad. That's what it was that I was thinking of.
Oh, well, we did talk about that. That it's
we did just not with Daryl. So Daryl, what do you think about the dad who got cast? It's what's his name? Now I can't find his name. Hold on, Sarek, father
Frayne,
of Spock,
James Frayne.
James Frayne. Do you know that guy?
Yeah.
He looks.
Yeah, time I saw James Frayne.
He looks like. He looks like Sarek. Like he's kind of already him. Yeah. It's perfect, kind of.
He looks like a 10-year younger Sarek, which is perfect.
Yeah, it seems perfect. But so the idea, though, because this is what this is, right? Just 10 years before Kirk?
Yeah.
Okay. So they're not, it's not like they're saying, Klingons live forever. So this is Sarek when he's, 20,
right?
Back in the year, whatever. Like this is straight up, I still don't know how I feel about this just prior to Kirk business. I'm still just weirded out by that.
I'm not a fan of it. I wish they had picked a later timeline. Plus, because they're jammed up. That's like a prequel to TOS and a sequel to Enterprise.
Yeah, but also a weird one. 10 years, it's only a decade. It's like nothing. Right. Like, it's a teeny little amount of time. Like, James Kirk is a kid right now. And that's weird.
And how are they going to introduce amazing new futuristic technology when it's before TOS?
They won't. That's the problem. I agree with you. Totally agree.
Problem.
Totally agree. I mean, you can make compelling stories and characters matter the most, and so I'm willing to wait and see how things go. But that aspect of Star Trek is going to be lost a little bit in the same way it was lost in Enterprise. Enterprise was missing because it had to live by certain rules, and then when it broke some of those rules, in rarely, but when they did, it just stood out like, no, you can't do that. This is a prequel, and we didn't know this yet, and so, I don't know. I have problems, but I hope
we do
it's
have
good.
Some more casting news. Doug Jones is going to be in the show, and when you see Doug Jones, he's the guy who was Hellboy's Abe Sapien.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, he does a lot of body double stuff. Big
he totally
tall guy.
Does. He's a big, tall, lanky dude, and we've seen him in a bunch of different things. I know.
I love him. Dude. Hold on.
And then Sinequa. Martin Green from The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember her character name on that, but
Hellboy. Okay. The other stuff I remember him from was where is it? Something we just saw on film site.
I know.
Oh, he's on The Strain, which it's super weird on that. He's good on that. I saw that recently. And let's see. There's something else.
I know we've seen him recently in something for TMS.
That's going to drive me crazy.
Oh, John Dies at the End.
Yep. Yep. That was totally it. Interesting guy. Okay.
Oh, and Quarantine. He was in Quarantine as well.
No. All right. Well, hey, then he died.
There's a really neat video out there that was just done the other day of, I think, something like four or five of the cast members, and they're all super, super excited, and it looks like they're in a van driving to the studio.
Oh.
Recording or filming.
Oh.
And they're just freaking out. They're super excited to be doing it.
All right. So maybe, look, I want to be surprised by how good something might be. So, sometimes everything's going against something. And once it comes out, you're like, oh, this is good. All our worries were for nothing. So let's hope that that's where we're at in not May now.
Mm-hmm.
When is it going to be? Did they say? Is it fall? Is it June?
They didn't say.
Okay. Well,
but I suspect it'll be 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, probably fall. Fall premiere kind of time.
That gives them a year delay from their original start.
Right, right.
And that's a bummer. That's a bummer. All right, Daryl, play a game of
that. That's okay. Blizzard has been known to delay, and look at their stuff.
Yeah, but I don't know. With Blizzard, you expect it. With Star Trek, we just... Usually with TV, if you give us a date, it sort of holds.
Let's hope this is more Overwatch, less Chinese democracy.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. Daryl, play a game. You got a game with us? What do you got there?
Oh, yes. I'm going to read part of a query that I've entered into YouTube. Mm-hmm. You can play the phrase and win nothing. I have a problem with the word complete for some reason.
Complete. Yeah, no, that's right. You can't complete the word complete. I see.
Wow.
Yeah. So hold on.
YouTube.
All right, give it to us.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do this one. My blank itches.
My blank itches?
My blank itches.
This is still on the itch train. All right. My blank itches.
My blank itches.
Didn't we do this? Because you said my butt itches. Or itch my butt. That's what it was.
Yeah, itch my butt. I'm going to say my nose. My nose itches.
Yeah, nose is a good one, Brian. I like that. How about I say my... I'm trying to think if it's like a self-helpy thing.
Mm.
I'll say my rash itches. I don't know. It seems redundant, but I'm going to say my rash itches. Brian says nose.
Okay. If there's a rash on your nose, then you both win. But it's the real answer is my head itches.
Oh, that's it?
My head itches.
That's it. My head itches. That's it.
That's as most popular, monotonous as you get.
Popular video term on YouTube, wow. My head itches.
That's fantastic. Daryl, thanks so much for your time. You know, I just realized the way I've set this call up, I can't hang up on Daryl, so I can no longer abruptly hang up on him and get rid of him.
Oh, I'll hang up if I can.
Well, of course you can, but my point is that
I
can't
do it during a ga-ga-ga-ga.
Yeah, can you do it during the ga-ga-ga?
Oh, look, we just saw Daryl's nose.
We got a flash of Daryl. All right, bye now. That was awesome. All right, what are we doing now? I know this. Join me for the news brought to you by
Coverville, where today we celebrate the 75th birthday of Graham Nash. Yeah, he's the Nash in Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. He's also former member of the Hollies and solo artist. But of course, we're going to be focusing on his Hollies and his Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young stuff. So covers today of Wasted on the Way, Carry On, Sweet Judy Blue Eyes, Just a Song Before I Go, some great stuff. And man, have I already got a bunch of terrific covers lined up for this show today.
Do
that's
you?
At 1 p.m. Oh,
go what? Ahead. 1 p.m. today.
1 p.m. Mountain Time, coverville.com/live.
Do you have a favorite Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, if you want to throw them in there, song?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. It's Sweet Judy Blue Eyes.
Oh, all right. That's a good one.
The one that ends with do 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 do.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
My favorite is Southern Cross.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, yep. I love that song.
Mm-hmm. There'll be a cover of that on the show today, too.
I saw these guys in concert. They were minus Young.
Neil Young, yeah.
But the other, the Crosby, Stills, and Nash, they were all there. And it was in...
Their harmonies are incredible.
It was like 1989 or something. And they were really good, I remember thinking at the time. It was also less crazy of a concert. You could actually sit.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah, we were able to do that at Steely Dan at Red Rocks. So nice when you can actually sit down, enjoy a concert, and you don't have people around you who are singing louder than the artists themselves.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, I got the good news for Amazon Echo owners. I'm not going to say the name that activates your Echoes. Unless you've changed it to Echo, and I can't do anything for you if that's the case.
Right, yeah. It's your own damn fault.
So they've... taken it one step further, and they finally made it so, and maybe some people, this will set them off because they've already made the change, but I have real issues with this. Amazon has created the Star Trek future with the Echo with a new wake word, and the new wake word is computer. So you can now say,
fantastic.
You can now say, computer, find me a thing or do a deal, you know, whatever, and they'll do it. Now, this works not only in the home assistant, but also in cars. And they've made it across the board. So the Alexa ecosystem. Oh, I just said the word. Sorry, everybody.
You just ordered ecosystems for everybody.
The Echo ecosystem, I should say, can now say other words. You can also use now the word Amazon. And like I said earlier, you could say the word Echo. Now, I have a very fundamental question about this.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it and was super excited. I thought, oh, that's so cool. I'm going to totally do this. And then it occurred to me, the lady name, Alexa,
uh-huh. doesn't come up in regular conversation that often.
There you go. Nobody's sitting around saying, oh, remember that time we talked to so-and-so at school today? Like, this, her name's not coming up outside of the context of talking to the box.
But I think
the word
that,
computer, I say all the frickin' time.
Do you really, though? You may talk about your computers, but you probably use terms like my Mac or my desktop or my laptop. I don't know if you, I'll bet, I would say it's a great experiment. Switch the, switch your Echo to use computer as the trigger word and see how often you say that.
Okay. I'm going to do it. I am going to do it and try it, but it just, it has just occurred to me. It's definitely going to be more common than that other word though. It's just, I mean, by sheer nature.
Yeah, it should be, but I bet it's not as common as you expect. And with the commonness of that word coming up in regular conversation outweigh the coolness of being able to go, computer.
Can I talk into an old Mac mouse from 1985?
You can. Okay. An old square one button Mac mouse? Yeah. You certainly can.
All right. I'm in then. So that's happening. That's the thing you can do right now. So get on that if you so desire. And I, again, apologize to anyone who may be already using those words, and we've been setting off your thing all morning.
Although, you know, Dice Tomato does point out, if you watch a lot of Star Trek, that's going to trigger a lot.
Oh, right. If that, yeah, if it's in the room as your TV. Oh, my gosh. Every time.
I'm always amazed, though, by the fact that the Amazon commercials for the Echo, where they say the woman's name all the time, doesn't trigger. You know, it's like they've got it in there to recognize exactly that intonation.
Have they done that? I didn't know they did that. I didn't realize.
I think they did, so that it wouldn't trigger.
Okay, interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe they can do that with computer. Pizza man. Do you ever deliver pizzas?
I did for two different companies, and then I made pizzas for Little Caesars. But it was a couple of family-owned places called Pizza Hotline and Dano's Pizza here in Colorado. And
they still exist?
No, both places are gone. Mm. It was such a great time delivering pizzas. Honestly, it was a fun job because you're in your car, you're listening to music. This is before GPS is in your phone, so you had to look. This is great. We had to look at a big map on the wall in the pizza place before we left to go deliver the pizza and plan out our route.
Yep.
Sometimes even write it down on a sticky note.
Did those places have any rules about 30 minutes or less or any of those things that were going on at the time?
No. We followed it. I mean, we delivered people's pizzas very quickly, but we didn't have a rule that you'd get a free pizza if we didn't make it there in 30 minutes. I hate that. That's a dumb rule.
I agree.
So many things that can happen outside of the pizza making, cooking, and delivering process that can affect that 30 minutes.
Yeah, especially I had a friend whose big joke was when he was, we were probably 17. His big joke was that he would do all he could to figure out how to delay the pizza guy so that he would get it free because it would take more than 30 minutes.
Right. What do you say? Now watch out. There's some construction on Main Street. So you're going to have to make sure to take a bunch of side streets. And
yep. That is exactly what he did. And they would make it worse by, if he was only a couple of minutes shy, he would, or if the guy got there a couple of minutes to spare, he would like yell from the upstairs window, "I'm coming just a second." And then he would wait.
Well, no way. And they'd count that? They'd allow that?
They felt compelled because, you know, the rule's the rule or whatever. I feel like they should have told him no because my friend was kind of a jackass.
Totally. I would think, no, I was at your doorstep with 2 minutes to spare.
Yeah. I mean, I should make this clear. Most of my friends at the time were not this lame. But he was kind of lame. Like my buddy Mark and Dan and everyone else I hung out with, they were all fine. They didn't do this sort of stuff. We never really took advantage of the system in that way. But this one guy, not going to use his name, I actually think he may listen now.
Oh, wow.
So he knows I'm talking about him.
Right. Now, did you ever deliver pizza?
Maybe I'll put his number out. Hey, you know what I'm never going to do again? You know what I'm never, ever, ever going to do ever again, regardless of anything ever?
Let me guess, Scott.
Take a wild guess, Brian. The one thing, regardless of motivation or reasons or excuses, guess the one thing I'll never, ever do again.
You're going to never threaten to dox someone based on their disagreement with your liberal points of views on your effing video game show.
Yeah, that's what that guy thinks. And look, I won't even do it in the world of truth and facts where someone was racist and I did it. I won't even do it then. So...
Sure.
Just letting you know, Never doing that again.
Nope.
Learn my lesson.
I don't think there's anybody here who's listened to the show regularly or follows you on any sort of social media who think you would ever do that again.
Yeah, you think I got another one in the chamber?
I think we've been taught a lesson.
Yeah, sufficiently put in my corner for sure.
Right. So tell us about this pizza delivery guy.
So anyway, his car got stolen, and it got returned with a full tank of gas and a used lottery ticket. It's a little weird.
Used lottery. What did they use the lottery ticket for?
Well, Josh Cook was out in his vehicle delivering pizzas late Friday night when he called to a home in the, or sorry, when he was called to a home in the Springdale Street area. I don't know where this is. Somewhere Canada. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. This is such a Canada thing to do.
Even
the car stealers are apologizing, returning the car, giving you a full tank of gas.
Sorry
about that. Sorry. Because of the storm, he left his car running in the middle of the road with emergency indicators on while he went inside an apartment building to deliver the pizza. That's when he heard the engine rev, ran back, only in time to see his car speed off down the street. I ran over to the stairs to take a look just to see my car flying up the road, at which point I realized my cell phone was in the car, so there's nothing he could do about it. He spent several minutes frantically trying to get help from people in the building, but got nowhere. Pizza still in his delivery bag, decided to trudge up the Springfield Street to the St. Clair's Hospital, where he called the police. They were a little dumbfounded because you don't get your car stolen in the middle of a blizzard, normally. Anyway, so he went and delivered the pizza, got a $15 tip. He says that was the one good thing about it. And let's see, thought he was never going to get his car again. Let's see, I'm skipping ahead. There's so much of this long. They're really dragging the story out. Hazard lights were on. It was a good company.
Somebody gets paid by the word.
Yeah. Cook says, it looks like it was the car will be written off and isn't holding out much hope. I still haven't seen it in the last few days. They still aren't getting to how it got returned.
No kidding. Yeah.
The whole article ends before they say how it got returned. They just say it did. In addition to the gas, Cook also, did get the car back and got a full tank of gas, found two items in his car that weren't there before, a small shovel in the back seat and a scratched losing lottery ticket.
Oh, a scratch-off ticket. Okay. It said Lotto in the headline, so I was thinking, Lotto is usually the six numbers. And
yeah, that's weird. That's a crossword thing. Sense. Weird. That's a weird kind of Lotto, isn't it? Hey, Canada, you'll have to explain yourselves. I don't know what's going on.
What, the scratch-off tickets?
No, was it scratch-off? It looks like it's something you have to fill in, it looks like a crossword in that photo.
Oh, they actually have a photo of it? Hold on, now I gotta look.
Yeah, it's weird. I just don't do Lotto.
Oh, no, that's one of the scratch-off tickets. So you get a certain number of letters. You can see them at the bottom underneath the crossword puzzle.
Yeah.
And if you complete any words, like see how they've completed opera and uproar and your... Mm-hmm. And lawyer.
Yeah.
The more words you complete, the more money you get back. It's basically, what's the slowest way we can make you lose money? By making you do this whole rigmarole.
Colorado have a lottery? I don't even know.
Oh yeah, we do. And we have this crossword style game.
Yeah, we don't have one, so I never see these.
You don't have any? Wow, I'm gonna have to bring you some scratcher tickets and
no Lotto in
Utah. For a while we had I only buy them when it's something kind of cool. Like we had Atari Classics, a classic Atari, where it was Space Invaders, Asteroids, Centipede, and one more. And I can't remember what it was, but it was all the scratch-off things looked like old video games.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, so I had to get some of those. I ended up winning some, a couple $100.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I've just never had them here, so I don't know what they look like. I assumed they were just like a scratch with a single number off, and it says whether you won or not.
Like that would be too quick. You need to make people feel like they're getting some time for their money.
They're getting their hard-earned money. They're $3 worth or whatever you pay.
Plus, the more complicated they make it, the more likely you'll screw up and not realize you've got a winner when you think it's a losing ticket. That's like this crossword one is perfect for that because all it takes is misreading one letter, forgetting to scratch off one letter, and you'll think that, I didn't win on this one. And,
makes me want to go, if there was a way to do this, it'd have to be magically, but I wonder how many Lotto tickets were actually winning tickets that people misread or didn't scratch all the way off or whatever the reason was, and they got tossed in the trash.
I'll bet you 10% of winning lottery tickets are
Oh my gosh, that's a lot.
Misread and forgotten about.
That's a lot, man. Well, all right, start digging through the dumpster, everybody. See what you can find.
Right.
So I want to show a picture to the chat room while we do this live. It is a photo. Whoops, a photo of what it looks like to find $20 million hidden in your bed.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Oh my God, if that doesn't look so totally Walter White, I don't know what does.
No, it's Walter White as hell, for sure.
Yeah.
Here's how the story goes. Attorneys or U.S. Attorney Office in Boston has you covered if you want to know what this looks like. Federal officials posted a picture of a jaw-dropping scene on Twitter on Monday, just weeks after uncovering the cash during a money laundering bust related to the Telex Free Inc.'s $3 billion global fraud case. Oof.
Mm-hmm.
Photos of $20 million seized in a box spring following the arrest of Brazilian national of a Brazilian national and scheming to launder proceeds from Telefree. Never heard of that. The prosecutor's office tweeted along with a photo. The image stems from a search conducted January 4th inside the Westboro, Massachusetts apartment. And let's see. His name was Kleber Rene Rosario Rocha.
Not so clever now, are you?
Yeah, not feeling very clever. Probably Klebar, Klebar, or something like that.
Kleber. Kleber Rene Rosario Rocha.
It does sound French, not
kind of does, yeah.
Whatever. Who was charged with criminal complaint and one, let's see, and with one count of conspiring to commit money laundering in connection with the alleged pyramid scheme. According to the complaint, the internet phone service company ripped off about a half of their participants, or roughly 1 million people across the world. So they went to the headquarters, they believed, there in Marlboro. They went through it all, found all this money, literally $20 million stashed in a mattress.
That is insane. It's really technically jamming in the box spring.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah. just that still exists as a thing to do? Like,
right.
What a weird mobster thing
you know,
to do.
If it's, you can't put it in a bank, right? You've got to store it somewhere. And this is a place people normally wouldn't think to look for it. Or, I don't know, maybe they would. But
that's all just right. Crazy.
I'm going to give you, I'm going to put 15 seconds on the clock.
Okay.
Here we go. All right. I'm going to do this right here with my, I'm going to use my phone's timer
okay.
Right here.
All right.
And 15 seconds on the clock. You work for the Huffington Post.
Mm-hmm.
You have to come up with a headline for this story.
Oh my gosh.
On your mark, get set. You want more time? Want
no,
30
ready?
Seconds?
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
All right.
Give me 30.
I'll give you 30.
Okay.
I'll just give, let's see how long it takes. So I'll stop and I'll restart. I'll clear and then, okay, go.
All right. I've got $20 million. What should I do with it? I'll sleep on it. That's number one.
Okay. Keep going.
There,
Ariana thumbs down that one.
We
keep
are,
going.
Let's see. See, honey, is that $20 million in the bed or are you just happy to see me? There's one.
Keep going. Ariana says no.
Ah, shit. No, darling.
No, darling. Keep going.
there's
30 seconds.
I think I have cash back. Oh, I can't think of anything. All right. That's hard to do. So let's do
it. Really
I'm doing
to
it
do.
To you now. Hold on.
Oh, shit.
You weren't planning on that, were you? Okay. So hold on. Let me get a timer up. All right. I'm going to give you, again, same 30 seconds and go.
All right. Snooze bed. Let's see.
Don't let chat room help you. No help. Chat room.
I'm not looking to the chat room. Cash. Let's see.
20
Robber seconds. Dreams of putting money in a safe place. Yeah, is that it? Is
no,
that time
you still have
already?
Time. You still have time.
That was Ariana.
That was Ariana, yeah. And now, yeah. Time, you're done.
Oh, God. See, yeah, that's
See, it's hard.
Tough. That's
it's really hard. Tough. You know what? Hats off to Huffington Post writers suddenly.
They probably give themselves more than 30 seconds to do it, but.
That was pretty funny.
All right, chat room. You can work on that yourself and yeah. Let us know if you come up with something.
Flood the chat with your equally poor ideas.
Yeah.
A final story. A chef throws chili powder in the diner's eyes.
Oh, we should do this one for the HuffPo headline.
Yeah, this isn't bad. A diner. There's no way, mm-hmm. Double N in there. A diner who complained about his tough and rubbery food.
It's tough and rubbery.
It's tough and rubbery.
Rubbery.
At a curry house in Wales, ended up being hospitalized to have chili powder washed out of his eyes. Michelle Evans says she was dining with husband David on Saturday night when their complaint about the food brought out an angry head chef from the kitchen. The chef was extremely rude and aggressive and accused us of not wanting to pay for our food. Michelle said after the chef swore at her, David followed him back in the kitchen demanding an apology, and the chef came to the door with a large bowl of chili powder and threw it in David's face.
Ooh, all right, jeez.
That's pretty gnarly, right?
Diner Cayenne, never come back to restaurant.
Nice, perfect. Very good, darling. We'll use it. David instantly thought he had been blinded and was extremely distressed. She says the 46-year-old was rushed to the hospital where he received eye washings through a drip. That's weird. She said he still has to take steroid eye drops. Wales Online reported the chef Kamarul Islam has a different take on the incident, which was captured on CCTV. He says the couple were shouting and swearing at him, and David Evans chased him into the kitchen. He was being very aggressive and pushed past other members of the staff. I was frightened and grabbed a handful of chili just in case I needed to defend myself. Police say the chef was released on bail after being arrested for common assault. So maybe it's different than the couple say. Who knows? Yeah. Either way, that'll give you the tears.
Ow. That just hurts, like, thinking about it.
Yeah, I don't like that. Stuff in your eye? Bad deal. We're going to take a break, get something else in our eye. We call it recommendals, and it will involve Nicole and our theme this week, which involves a certain actor, and I'm excited to do it. So come on back for that. In the meantime, music, independent, give it.
Yes, I'm going to be playing music that comes to us from a listener who used our request email form to actually let us know about a band that is an indie in the middle. So you can use the request form, tinyurl.com/TMS request, to also request indie in the middle tracks if you want to use that. This is an older song by the band that he's in, James emailed in, and we'd love to have you guys play it on TMS. The link shows as being under a band called Zoloff. This is from a while back, and we've since changed our name to Levi J. Miller. So just disregard the Zoloff name if you guys decide to play this. We're a four-piece from Nashville, Tennessee. We describe our music as dream pop or indie pop, with our main goal as a band being able to put a unique spin on the indie scene with tons of quality tunes. You can find their latest LP, Before 17, on Apple Music, iTunes, Spotify, and Bandcamp.
Nice.
Been a fan since ELR, and be fantastic to give a fraction of the entertainment Frog Pants has brought me over the years. Love you guys. Thanks for the consideration. Signed, James. Well, this is great. I like this. So the band is Levi J. Miller. The song is called Right Now. You can find it on their album Parental Guidance, I believe. So check it out. If you go to zoloffband.bandcamp.com, it'll probably redirect you to the Levi J. Yeah, it actually will. It'll redirect you to the Levi J. Miller site. So Zoloff, Z-O-L-O-F, band.bandcamp.com. Here is Levi J. Miller and the song Right Now.
Don't you know I'm so cute right now? Don't you know I'm so cute?
you aren't back down in 3 hours, we'll come up after you.
What about the Gimpo here?
We'll hold him as a hostage to ensure the doctor's safety.
They're no good.
The Morning Stream. It's finer than frog hair split four ways.
Don't know what to make of that. Very weird, right? Like the guy on the treadmill. I haven't seen him since last spoke about it. Yeah, I've been back a couple times and he hasn't been there. So either he gave up on his New Year's resolution or someone said, dude, you can't say every time you...
You're going to have to go to another gym.
Yeah. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Right.
Nicole time. That's what this is.
Cool.
I'm going to call her right now.
Do it, do it.
Tom's not here today. I should have mentioned that. In fact, hearts go out to Tom. Today they have to put their dog down.
Oh, Django. Yeah. Oh, man.
And for a long time, they were thinking, you know, she's improving here, improving there, and then things would kind of go bad again. And they had, you know, some medication that was helping. And the dog is beyond its years already. And so it was just looking a little bit grim. But they did get to have a bunch of extra time. And now today's the day. So
yeah, because it's been since it was at BlizzCon that he found out, and so they did get some more time with Django than they thought. So that is
good. That's a silver lining. Yeah, I would say. Yeah. In this whole thing. So hopefully he's doing okay. But we won't have tech time today. I will be on DTNS later, likely with him. But if not, we'll carry on one way or the other. There'll be a daily tech news show that I will be directly involved in. Right. But for now, there's this. Bobby. Supposed to yell at Mark because their camera wasn't working right away, but now it's fine.
He just said, hey, promote the arcade cabinet. It's coming out today.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Wait, is he mad? What's going on? Is he selling mass-produced versions or something, or what's happening?
No. The video.
The guide. I want to see that.
The plans and all that jazz.
That's great. To see my hands with my goofy Pokemon Go, which I did not realize that Pokemon Go Plus was as prominently featured in the video as it was.
Like, what is that?
I think that's awesome. Well, I'm stoked to absolutely to see that. So I'll watch that today. When is it coming out and where do we go? Where do people go? Let's promote it.
He's wrapping it up right now, and if you go to thewoodwhisperer.com, it'll be there and on the YouTube channel as well.
Nice.
So We've kind of been on a holding pattern for about 3 weeks to release it. So we finally got word and it can go out.
That's awesome. Very, very cool. Well, it's Recommendals. It's Nicole. We come on and we talk about stuff that's streaming that we're into. We usually have a theme. Dan Aykroyd is our theme.
Yes. Did you pick that one?
I think Brian did.
Actually. Yeah, it came from the Sigourney Weaver Ghostbusters connection.
Yeah. Right. And I love Dan Aykroyd.
Right.
Oh, you know what, Brian? I don't see a clip from you in here.
I put it in the Slack.
Oh, okay, no problem.
Was it since you already know what movie it is? I figured out. I didn't need to.
Totally.
Scramble to edit it down. I didn't remember until I saw Nicole pop up in the chat room. Like, today's Recommendals. I don't have a clip.
I don't have a thing. That's all right. This will totally work. And just inside.
I have like backups on backups because I don't know what you're gonna pick. So I'm like, okay. There's a lot of Dan Aykroyd movies streaming.
Yeah, there are. And I was going to say, as a side note, I'm really happy to see that because he is, you know, you can say whatever you want about his weird Crystal Skull vodka business or how he believes in aliens or all that other stuff. His personal life aside, who cares? He has a really interesting breadth of stuff he's made over the years. Like, there are times where you'll see something like Driving Miss Daisy and go, man, Dan Aykroyd can act. And he is like this normal guy in this. He's not he's not Ray from Ghostbusters. But then you have Ray from Ghostbusters and a million things in between. And so I was just tickled that this was our theme and I had a hard time narrowing it down. But I picked one of my favorite movies of all time. We'll get to that in a second. But before that, Brian, let's play yours.
Okay. This is a 1992 film with Dan Aykroyd.
Here goes.
What do you want, Mr. Bishop?
Clear up my record. Get out of my life.
I don't have much choice, do I?
Not unless you want to read about it in Newsweek.
Deal. The box.
Not so fast. I want a Winnebago.
What?
Fully equipped. Big kitchen, waterbed, AM, FM, CD? Microwave?
This is not a car dealership, pal.
He wants a Winnebago.
All right.
I love that movie so much.
Yeah, that's such a great scene, too.
Nicole, do you know what it is?
No, I don't.
Oh, it's so good. Brian, you can tell us. You can tell
that
us
is the movie Sneakers, which, in addition to Dan Aykroyd, of course, you're hearing Robert Redford there, and
Sidney Poitier, Sidney Poitier, River
right,
Phoenix,
yeah, Ben Kingsley.
Where's this streaming?
Where is it streaming?
Right? Hulu.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, there you go.
It is one of my all-time favorites. I love Sneakers.
Such a great movie, and really an amazing cast. 1992, I mean, all these guys were at the top of their, well, a lot of these people are at the top of their game. River Phoenix mm-hmm. is in there. David Strathairn, mm-hmm. Mr. Theron. Really, really, really good.
Yeah, and also, here's my favorite thing about it. In 1992, there was no shortage of movies that could not get technology right. And mm-hmm. and I would say always, movies are kind of terrible at portraying technology for what it actually is. And mm-hmm. instead, it's big screens with giant countdowns and zoom and enhance and all that bull crap we get from TV and movies. This movie didn't do that. This movie went straight down the line on the tech. And it's really refreshing to see them just embrace that, to be realistic about it, to use it in terms that make sense and not try to overblow or over Hollywood the technology or computers or hacking or whatever. And so that alone makes it worth watching, in my opinion, but it's also just a really great movie. So.
And it might be one of the first ever movies that I remember seeing Stephen Tobolowsky in, and he has such a great role in this film.
Yeah, he's real good in it. Also, what's her name? President from BSG. Can't think of her name.
Yeah, Mary McConnell.
Yeah, she's great. Mm-hmm. And
or McDonald. I'm McDonald. Sorry, Mary McDonald.
Yeah, yeah. She's great in it. It was before she was in... before she was Stands with Fists in the Air or whatever from...
Oh, right. Dances with Wolves. Dances yeah, I forgot Wolves, about
yeah.
that.
Yeah. It's really good. Yeah. Anyway.
And the late River Phoenix, as I mentioned, and...
it's all good. And he plays a character called... Dan Aykroyd plays a character called Mother.
Yes.
He is basically... imagine the most conspiratorial trolls on the internet, but with a heart of gold. That's him.
He's Jesse Ventura, but not a wrestler.
Yeah, and kind of not a jerk. Like, he's a nice right, yeah. troll. He's really good. So, Nicole, if you've never seen it, you should totally watch that movie. It's really, really good.
I honestly can't remember if I've seen it or not. It kind of, I don't know.
Is it ringing a bell? A little bit, maybe?
Of course. I've heard of the movie, but I just don't remember if I've seen it.
What's also impressed me is most movies do a bad job of portraying somebody at a much younger age and then showing them later. And usually mm-hmm. you're like, that looks nothing like that guy. Mm-hmm. The people that played young Redford and young Kingsley...
Oh my God, they're so great!
They're spitting image, and there's no computer enhancement or any of that crap. It's just mm-hmm. two actors who look dead on like younger versions of those guys, and that really worked for me. So anyway, well done, Brian. Great pick.
Yay!
Thanks.
Here's mine. See if you know this clip, and if you do, I wouldn't be surprised. Whoops, where is it? Here it is. Can we play that for you?
So bad luck for Boudreaux and bad luck for Blank. Poodle pumper, hound hitter, pooch puncher.
Well, let's not talk about Boudreaux, huh? What about those two guys in a Caprice Classic outside? The word is you turn two governments on me, you turn go.
Me?
You.
Goji?
Yes.
On you?
Yes.
Never.
Okay. That is.
I stayed away from this movie because I thought if there's any movie Scott's going to pick, it's this one right here.
By far my favorite Dan Aykroyd film, and by far one of my, it's easily the top three of my 90s movies. Like movies that came out in the 90s, right up there. And also on my all-time list. I love, love, love this movie. And there's many reasons why, but I'll just name a few. John Cusack is great, as always. His sister is in it, plays his secretary, and is a riot. Mm-hmm. Dan Aykroyd plays a character called Grocer, who's also a hitman. That's the whole story behind this, is he's a hitman. And he's supposed to be going back to his 10-year high school reunion. And sort of rekindle a relationship with Minnie Driver. Mm-hmm. And she works at this radio station. Piven. Yeah, Jeremy Piven's this friend who's a total sleaze. He's total Jerry Piven.
He's total Piven Jeremy is. Piven, yeah.
Isn't every role Jeremy Piven plays?
Yeah, it's always a little slimy.
Kind of, yeah, they're all Ari Gold, basically.
And this is one of the first times I'd ever seen him. So that was stamped on his character forever. And so everything else after that, it was always like, oh, yeah, he's playing another one of these guys. But... I love it, love it, love it. It's this weird combination of almost like Tarantino 90s crime thing with all the dark sardonic humor that comes with that stuff, mixed with like a John Hughes high school 80s reunion movie, and it is done so deftly and so well. I love it. And part of it, and then the other reason I think I'm kind of sold on it, or it makes a big deal for me, is it's 1997, exactly 10 years after my own high school graduation. So everything about that reunion, seeing people 10 years later, all of the high school bits, all the music they played for, all of that just rang totally true and accurate for my for my high school. So I've always liked the fact that this guy, this hitman, is my age. So he's going back to this thing at 26, 27. I'm watching this movie at 26, 27. Like, something about that worked for me, and I love it. So it's on Netflix, by the way.
And you got a great performance of Guns N' Roses' cover of Live and Let Die in the convenience store, too.
Yeah, really. That's an amazing scene. Oh, my gosh, that scene. And they're playing the Doom arcade game in there.
Right, yes.
Which existed
in
92.
Didn't realize it was a thing.
Yeah, it actually existed for a while. So anyway, Run, Not, Don't Walk. It's amazing. Not for the kids so much, but it's great. And again, Netflix is where I got it. I've seen it like 12 times. It was nice to
Did
see
you
it the 12
even
times.
Say the name of the movie?
Yeah. Oh, Gross Point Blank. Sorry. Yeah, you're right. I didn't. Yeah.
That's really funny.
We just assumed that everybody listening.
Yeah. And Gross Point Blank is such a funny combination of words, because Gross Point is where he went to high school. So that's where he's going back to. Blank is his last name, but you can take the two and make Point Blank part of the title. Like, it's it's normally something that would irritate me, and it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Like, I like that kind of play on words. So anyway,
a little too clever, but here it totally works.
It's so good. Oh my gosh. Like, how do you take Tarantino and John Hughes and make a movie? You'd basically, that's what this is. It's like Tarantino meets John Hughes in the weirdest way. It's so good.
It's a movie.
Anyway, all right, Nicole, lay it on us.
So you didn't pick my movie.
Oh, good.
And I had a backup, and I haven't had a chance to watch the clip. So I'm going to go with this because I didn't know he was in this movie.
All right.
So let's see. Hopefully.
Let's see what it does. Mark!
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Jones, I'm R. Weber. I spoke with your assistant. We've managed to secure three seats. But there might be a slight inconvenience, as you will be riding on a cargo full of live poultry.
Is he kidding?
Madam, the best I could do is such short notice. Heaven, aren't you Willie Scott, the famous American female vocalist?
Is it Temple of Doom? Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
That is Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
I forgot he was in that.
He plays a character named Weber, and that was him talking.
Yeah, he gets him on the plane that goes down in the Andes, right?
Yes.
Yeah, where they float to safety on a raft.
So all of the Indiana Jones movies are streaming on Hulu right now.
Yeah.
Every single one.
Amazon too, I think. Isn't Amazon having two? Maybe not.
I think
I didn't see him on Amazon. I've only seen him on Hulu.
I'll look it up. But anyway, I completely forgot he was in that. Totally forgot.
And in fact, I was going through. Oh yeah, I was going through his IMDb, and I saw it listed. I'm like, what? I don't remember him being in that movie at all. Mm-hmm. And there's a number of things he's been in that I totally didn't remember him in. So
whatever deal they struck, it's also struck with Amazon. So if you don't have Hulu out there, you can get all of these on Amazon as well.
He was in Twilight Zone, the movie?
Yes, that I remember. Yeah. He was in the car with John Lithgow.
He's the interstitial. Right, exactly.
Or not John Lithgow. He was on the plane. Who was he in the car with? Some other actor I should know.
He was an ambulance driver.
Yeah.
And right. Ambulance driver.
He's the one that kept saying, you want to see something really scary?
Right.
And then,
he picks up
the hitchhiker and tells each of these stories. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was also in an episode of Tales from the Crypt.
Yep. He was in My Girl. Remember My Girl?
Yeah, he was really good in that.
Yeah.
He was in Crossroads. It was going to be my opportunity to watch Britney Spears' movie Crossroads that we nixed for FilmSec, and I couldn't bring myself to do it.
If they ever, and I mean ever, reboot the Charlie's Angels series, if he's not Bosley, then you're doing it wrong. He should have been Bosley.
He made such a better Bosley than Murray.
Yeah, and I love Bill Murray, but he was no Bosley.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just feel like he can't do any wrong. Even when he's bad, he's good. I love him. I don't know what. And you know what? This is the funny bit. This is like Empire Strikes Back for me. When I saw Empire Strikes Back when I was a kid, I hated it. It's later that I really appreciated it. And now it's my favorite Star Wars film of all time. That's how I am with him. When I watched him on SNL way, way, way back in the day, they were probably repeats because I was too young to see anything earlier. But all that early SNL stuff, and he had that mustache and everything. Mm-hmm. I couldn't stand him. He drove
the Chop-O-Matic or something
yeah.
like that.
Where yeah. It annoyed the hell out of me. And everything he did bugged me. And every time I'd see him.
Chop-O-Matic, yeah. It dices.
I was like, I don't like this guy at all. But something changed, and now he's one of my favorites, and I just love him. So, yeah, Grocer, whether he's playing Grocer, whether he's playing Ray, or playing some serious role in something else. And see Driving Miss Daisy if you haven't lately, because he's great in that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's on Hulu, too.
Yeah. Man, Hulu and Amazon have good lineups right now.
I'll play you the clip that I was originally going to. This is the Dan Aykroyd I have in my head when I think Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, it's hot in here.
Would you please just look? It's him.
America, if you need starters, spark plugs, ball joints, gaskets, camshafts, U-joints, or rocker arms, anything that can be screwed or glued to that car or truck of yours, come see old Ray. Hey, you want a guarantee? I got a guarantee stamped on every box.
So that's the character mm-hmm. I think yeah. of. So that he plays, it's Tommy Boy, which right. is also
another character named Ray.
Yeah, another Ray.
Ray.
Yeah. Yeah. He likes being Ray. I forgot he was in Tommy Bucks. Boy. That's all the things I'm forgetting. I forget the stuff he's in.
He was the competitor yeah. to.
Right. And he's also.
Cogs to. to
right,
to
right.
He's Farley's Spacely Sprockets.
He's also very good in. What was the other one I'm thinking of? Oh, I know these. Most of the SNL movies that are based on skits.
Coneheads.
They're hit and miss, but I thought Coneheads was delightful.
Did you like Coneheads?
I did. I don't know why.
I never watched it.
Why I liked it so much.
Their heads creep me out.
They are freaky. It's definitely freaky. But he's, I don't know, there's something charming about that movie, and I thought Chris Farley was great in it, and it's totally worth watching. Yeah, I know, I miss him. But so that leads us to the question. Now that we've seen these movies, who's connected that we would like to recommend
next
week?
Yeah, I think it goes to you, Scott, so you have to pick somebody from Gross Point Blank.
I'm going to say Joan Cusack.
Joanie.
Oh, great one.
Too easy to pick John, I think. So I'm going to say Joan.
Plus, we need women in this.
I agree.
Oh, yeah. There's quite a few things streaming with Joan Cusack.
Yeah, so, yeah. I'm all into that.
About 10.
Something just came out on Netflix with her in it.
Oh, good. Yeah, I like her a lot. I feel like we don't see a lot of her now, but I wish.
Series.
I wish there was more going on.
Oh, wow. One of my favorite. Okay, cool. One of my favorite Joan Cusack roles is streaming, so I'm totally taking that one.
All right, you have it, you take it.
I was gonna say, speaking of Netflix original series, have either of you sat down and watched The OA yet?
No, it's not on yet. My queue next after I'm caught up with The Crown. That's my next one. So
yeah, we're doing House. We're wrapping up House of Cards, and then we're doing OA.
Yeah,
or OA.
So what'd you think, Nicole? Blown away. I keep hearing great, really amazing things about this thing.
Not for me.
Oh, you don't like it.
Oh, you're not liking it.
It was tedious at times. Mm. I didn't like the ending. Mm. It wasn't until I started reading about the similarities between the OA and Stranger Things, and there might be a connection between the two.
Oh, they share like they share a universe or something?
I think so.
Oh, weird.
Oh, interesting.
So as you're watching it, kind of keep, because they even have Stranger Things on the TV in one scene, a little Easter egg.
Yeah, I'll bet you Netflix is trying to create a weird offshoot ecosystem.
The Netflix-iverse.
Yeah, it could be.
I didn't, just from watching it and then not reading anything after, I think I just said, well, I finished the OA and that's all I can say about that.
Oh man, I've heard nothing but praise, so I'm surprised.
It's weird.
Yeah.
And it kind of take the, you'll get the memes after you watch it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it kind of takes you out sometimes of the movie or like, or the show. Cause there's times where I'm just like, what the hell am I watching?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I,
so, I, but I like the idea that there might be a connection between 11 and the OA, and there's a lot of similarities with what happens to them both. And
is there a plant? Is there a plant-faced creature in this or no?
No.
Okay.
No.
Demogorgon.
Is there a really nice girl who's in a puffy coat with glasses named Gail? The other girl, the one that
Barb.
Dies.
Oh, Barb.
Barb.
Yeah, never forget. Always remember Barb. She's the best. I can't even think of our old high school newspaper was the Brighton Barb. I can't even think of that now without being sad about Barb.
Oh,
it's a bummer.
Barb is a newspaper?
Yeah, it was called the Barb. You know, like a barb, like you're getting barbed. Like, yeah. That's quite a barb you sent out there,
there's
Bill.
There's not a connotation of that word that seems to apply news that you want.
Well, yeah, no, because the idea is that you're well, it just means you're a hard working journalistic entity, and you're going out and getting the real scoop, and this, you know,
speaking. We're gonna beat our competitors, the Princeton pricks.
So I'm reading the chat room because there are people in the chat room that didn't like it either. And Before Tank Girl said the OA grew on me, and I have to agree with her. Mm. I think about it a lot. Mm. I still didn't really like it, but I think about it, you know, how do you gauge, like you were saying with Dan Aykroyd, you didn't like him at first, but he grew on you.
Yeah. It may take some time. Who knows?
Maybe. Yeah. And I mean, maybe the story is continue, you know, as the story still unfolds.
Yeah. I mean, part of why I think Aykroyd grows on me lately is because he's just kind of gross and fat and annoying. And I don't know, there's something I like about that. Like, there's something about his curmudgeonly kind of grumpy Jabba the Hutt sort of stage that it's really working for me now. So I don't know if the AO or the OA will ever hit that for you. What does the OA stand for?
AO, Original Angel.
Oh. Oh. Mm. Oh, okay. That's not really a spoiler.
It might be a spoiler.
Oh, really? Okay.
Not really. I mean, it's not. I mean,
it's pretty immediate that's probably.
It's weird. Here's the thing. After you watch it,
yeah,
you're not even sure what you watch. So it's like, I don't even know what would spoil it because I don't even know how to explain it to you, really.
Okay. I'm down. So
it's kind of.
I'm down to figure it out. I'm going to watch it. And
you're then not going to figure anything out. You're just going to watch it. You're going to take it in. You're going to go, okay, I did that. I watched the show.
Yeah. Well, the best thing on TV right now is High Castle. So whatever comes next that's supposed to blow me away is a high watermark for me. A High Castle mark, if you want to say.
High barb to jump over.
Yeah, I do not think I can say enough positive things about season 2 of Man in the High Castle. It was incredible. So good.
I can't watch that.
I know.
It's too.
I know it hits a little hard on the current day bone a little bit.
You know? A little too much.
And don't write me emails saying you're saying Trump's Hitler. I'm not. I'm saying the public discourse is at an all-time weird level, and there's a bit of that in this show. That's all. But it's great. It's really good. People should watch it. The first season is much more Nicole depressing than I think 2 is. So I would only say that if you found 1 to be stark and unhappy, if that's the thing, I think 2 would improve things for you a little bit.
Yeah, on my list to watch next is the 3%.
Oh, I don't know what that is. What is the 3%?
It's another Netflix original, and it's that kind of, how do you say it? I can never say dystopic or whatever.
Dystopic? You know, dystopic.
Dystopic. Dystopic.
It's all right. Don Cheadle has lessons on how you can do it.
it's a future where.
Oh, this is the thing made in Brazil, and then they. It's a Brazilian dystopian thing. It's the subtitles, I think.
Yeah, so there's like an island that only 3% of the population is selected for, and everybody else is kind of like shoved together. And the artwork shows like a ton of people on one side and like one person walking on the other side. So it's an interesting premise and.
It's like the island, Brian. Remember that whole storyline? How
it seemed
like everybody was going off to some paradise, and you always wanted to figure out a way to earn yourself that
turned
position.
Into food or something.
Yeah, it's like that, or maybe it's like the Snowpiercer deal. You know, similar to that, I guess. But
what was that movie? The Cloud Atlantis.
Oh right, yeah. Same
Cloud
deal.
Atlas?
Cloud Atlas. Cloud Atlantis.
You knew what I was talking about.
Don't ever change the way you've come up with words. It's one of my favorite things in the world.
I just pull and...
And I don't have a lot of room to talk, so I just really enjoy it for what it is, because I make up words all the time. Nicole Spag, everybody. Nicole Spag on Twitter. Next week, we take on Joan Cusack.
Yay!
The only way that we know how. Thanks so much. Follow her on there. She'll be posting things. Nicole, take
missed
it easy.
All the movies I post in there.
Yeah. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
See you. Bye-bye.
All right, Brian. I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure we've done all we've come here to do.
I think so, since we don't have a Tom.
No Tom. He'll be back next week, and I'll be on his show later today at 2:30 Mountain Time for a live DTNS. I have been simulcasting that on Twitch, but won't be doing that till next week since that is not currently operational. So come on back for that. That'll be at Diamond Club.tv does it also... I think if you just go to DailyTechNewsShow.com. You'll get all the stuff you need. Big thanks to Patreon.com/TMS. People who have supported us over there, it means a great deal to us to do that. It's literally keeping our heads above water. It's kind of a weird year so far. I've noticed this across podcast generally. I've heard from a lot of different podcasters in the last, couple of weeks that so far 2017 is their worst ad year. Like
the,
the ad money has slowed. And the theory is that that's slowing because confidence from the people who are advertising, the ones with the products themselves, are feeling skittish because they're unsure about economic stuff. It's a little trickle-down thing happening post-election. And what that means, I don't know. I don't have a theory.
Sure.
The stock market is currently doing quite well, so I don't know that that's even connected. But it seems to be... at first, I thought it was just me, but I think it's kind of across the board.
Interesting.
So what you guys do at Patreon makes an incredible difference. It's literally keeping us on the air. So please continue to do that. We really appreciate it. Patreon.com/TMS. And if you're so inclined, check out one of the levels where you get some cool free stuff every month. That is a nice thing to do. And by the way, if you haven't gotten your access to the Twitch channel, or sorry, the Slack channel. Slack channel. It's you don't worry. You can get in. It's not that we've forgotten you. Sometimes stuff just slips through the cracks. So that it happens, what you're going to want to do is just send a quick at reply to salesgeekery on Twitter. That's Dave Michael. He will absolutely get you hooked up, but he's the guy to go to. If you send it to me, it may slip through said cracks. I would rather it go straight to his crack, if you know what I'm saying. So salesgeekery on Twitter is where you're going to want to send your request, and he'll get you hooked up. We'll get you in there if you haven't been in already, if you are indeed a supporter on Patreon. All right, frogpants.com/TMS for all things else that you need, our contact details, our phone number, our email, all of it's there, frogpants.com/TMS. Thank you so much. We are hurtling toward the 29th, Brian. People have a little time left. Yeah. Let's remind them what they need to do with their time travel unit deal.
That's right. Already had a couple people submit. So yeah, there's going to be some competition. So make sure you do this. The something in your house is a time travel device. We want to see what it is and what it can do. So use any special effects you want, time lapse, slow-mo, stop motion animation, or you know, just moving really slow. Hell, mannequin challenge might even work for this stupid mannequin challenge. Yeah. just submit it over there at frogpants.com/TMSFilmFest. Is that right?
TMS Film Fest. That is correct.
Cool. And if you win, big prize package coming your way. So so do it.
Yeah, get on there. Do it. Have it. Be it. Live it. Scream it. Drink it. Eat it. That's it. We're done. We're out. We're going to take off now. But before we go, let's leave them with a song. And you got a request, I understand.
No, but I do have a song, but it's not a request.
From you.
It's my yeah, exactly. I requested this. Yeah. So as I'm paring the songs down for Coverville today, I run into, you know, situations where I've got a bunch of great covers of the same song and I can only use one of them on the show. And the cover that the song that I want is Sweet Judy Blue Eyes, the aforementioned Crosby, Stills, and Nash song that I talked about as being my favorite song by them. The version I'm using for the show is by the band Toy Matinee. I'm a big fan of their music. So I had to pick something else. And I had to cut off something else to use that one. Yeah. It's this version right here that I decided so good I wanted to play it on TMS. It's by the band 1220. It's from their 2008 album, Hit with the Cool Ray. It's a lot more rocking than you're expecting. It's Sweet Judy Blue Eyes by 1220.
It's getting to the point where I'm no fun anymore. If I sometimes it hurts so bad. to the point where I'm no fun anymore, and I am sorry.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Show me that penis.
Great.